God is jealous, God. Many times we misapply jealousy. We think of it only as a negative rather than what it really is. We serve a jealous God that wants no other gods before him in our hearts. I've been working on getting rid of some old desires that pressure in on me, no different than it does inside of you. There are times that just simply obeying is so difficult because I want to do my own thing. I want to. You hear me? The me part wants to. But the Spirit of God in us is so faithful. And he doesn't let go until we obey. I praise God for that. I praise God for his obedience to create here in this region a house of prayer, not a house of selfish individuals. He is molding us, recreating us in the image of his son. And we argue with him. When I say we, I'm not saying each of you, I'm talking about corporately. Many times he's calling us to do things and because of old patterns that flow backwards instead of forward. How many know what I'm talking about? And I'm not being critical. I'm trying to tell you we're going to do this by grace. We're going to do it by flesh. Becoming one was the reality check. When Jesus left the earth, he commissioned them, tarry till I come. Tarry until I come. I remember years ago, my old pastor, who's been with the Lord 7 years now, his commission was carry. Hold on till the Lord comes inside of each and every one of them, those that you love. Hold on. Don't let go. I also recall the very first Feast of Tabernacles that we celebrated at Grace Church. And how when he came that night to minister to us, he went up to the podium and he said, my tent is full. My tabernacle is full. Because I hold so many in my heart. I've been waiting for this feast to become a reality for me, he said. And I never got those words because he was stretching me like I'm purposing to stretch you. Because he gave me a commission. This morning, I'm watching as I'm having my breakfast, a man of God get up and declare some words that I knew that somebody else would be theirs, but they were the words that were coming into my heart. I How many know someone can be ministering to someone else and you know that this is you, that you are the recipient of that word, that that word is not just meant for that individual. It's ministering to you, and you have a right to receive it by faith. This feast has been quite an experience. I don't know how many are in my tent. I have no clue. I know I've got lots of little ones questioning, when can I come? And the disability in their hearts is because the war in the flesh is so strong that they're unable to overcome as of yet. But I was reminded a month or so ago, the Lord said there was an avalanche of grace coming. Are you ready for an avalanche of grace? What is an avalanche? It takes over. It's not a little tiny slide. It's an avalanche. Whole cities can be destroyed by an avalanche of snow, mud. Down in South America, where there was an avalanche because of the excess rain, it covered up a whole section. I forgot if it was Nicaragua. Anybody remember the nation that was so covered up with the mudslides and the people were just buried alive? I know it was on the Pacific coast. I don't remember the small nation. It might have been Peru. It might have been Peru. But I remember the picture in my mind. An avalanche of grace. That means it's so far beyond your natural reasoning that it will literally take over. Are you ready to let go and let God? This morning, my dear sister brought me a beautiful picture of a major eagle with his eaglets, his babies. And I want to take this communion for the children in the realm of the Spirit. Those could be your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I don't know who or what God is wanting to do out of that. But I know this. He wants us to hold them up. Well, in the past few days, I've been kind of questioning the Lord, looking for fruit. And I shared with a couple of people how God has allowed telephone calls to bring in some reports of what God did during this time of recapturing His love, getting close to Him. I remember the Day of Atonement and how my leg, my knee, my body was under a lot of pressure and pain, and I was very aware that at the end of the feast, there was no pain left. So I look at that as fruit. The end results of something is the fruit thereof. I was also blessed by my brother's comments about not being always planting seed year after year, but to plant a tree and harvest its fruit. And if you plant a tree, you're going to get some fruit year after year after year. And this is the fruit harvest season. And this morning I said to the Lord, I don't know. Where do you want us to go? But my first press was not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And I could take you there, but that's not where I was led to go forward to, but to recognize that we have a tendency to go back to natural responses natural abilities, quick fix situations that only cause us more grief and more pain. I then heard a word. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and how foolish they were. So I'd like you to kind of come with me to Galatians chapter 3. I read it in the NIV, but I want to read it a little bit in the Amplified. Verse 1, oh, you poor and silly, thoughtless, unreflecting and senseless Galatians. Now, what a compliment. This is St. Paul speaking. Okay? And to go back to verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, special messenger, appointed and commissioned and sent out, not from any body of men, nor by or through any man, but by and through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and God the Father who raised him from among the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, the Church of Galatia, grace and spiritual blessings be to you, and soul peace from God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave and yielded himself up to atone for our sins and to save and sanctify us. To sanctify us. Then he tells them. I mean, this is the same letter. Not 3 months later. Amen? Oh, poor and silly, thoughtless, unreflecting and senseless Galatians. You think that maybe he had a change of heart from the time he began to the time that he got to chapter 3? Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed and crucified? Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing the law of rituals or from a message of faith? Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by depending on your own flesh? Now, the words is dependence, but I changed it. Because sometimes I depend on my flesh. Have you suffered so many things and experienced so much all for nothing? To no purpose. If it really is to no purpose and in vain, then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing? Remember, our friend told us we were not human doings. We were human beings. What the law demands, or because of your believing and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard. Thus Abraham believed and adhered to and trusted in and relied on God, and it was reckoned and placed to his account and accredited as righteousness, as conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. Genesis 15:6. Know and understand that it is really the people who live by faith who are the true sons of Abraham. Now, what has that got to do with you and me today? Because a lot of times my faith is going to be tested. Am I going to believe in my circumstances and in my hopeless stature of where I'm walking right now with my aches and my pains, and believing that if I take enough of this and that, that I'll definitely overcome. And I've walked in that place. I've done those things. And sometimes I was successful and other times I wasn't. Now, we've had some praise reports that people got freed up because they chose to believe in God's word versus their own actions and reactions and their own feelings and emotions. I can remember multiples of times that God began to pressure me to believe for a miracle. And the miracle seemingly was so high up that I couldn't reach it. And the test came. And I looked for that place to find an answer, like your scripture points out. Couldn't find it because the emotions were so strong and sometimes the pain was so intense. And the lies were so, so immense. I didn't know how to get rid of them. Anybody relate? Didn't know how to get rid of the lies. Why are we here? What is the purpose of this house of prayer? What is the reason that we take time out for the feast and nobody else does? Why? Why should we be different than all the other churches? I've got news for you. God's commands. Take time for me. Yes, dear. I know there's some on the TV show. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. And us is a people in New England that have chosen to flow with what God wanted. I want to remind you that when Jesus was obeying the Father, he got what? And what else? When you get instructions and you follow them, what happens? Persecution. Amen? Okay. What am I saying to you? I'm trying to give you an account right now of what God is beginning to form and what he wants and the reversal of the dark ages still in process. Did you hear me? The reversal of the dark ages still in process. It started with Martin Luther, that wonderful German priest who decided that he was going to believe for the victory by faith. And he actually drove Europe up Calvary's tree and irritated the religious folks. Are you aware that you're irritating some religious folks? Are you conscious that what you're saying by your actions and reactions is irritating the darkness? And the minute you start flying, it's even more difficult for them to swallow. How can they be so happy? How can they be set free? Why does God heal them and not me? How many have heard those words? Yeah. Why did you get healed and I can't? Yes, dear.
Well, you know, sometimes people are so focused on the physical healing or the healing that they're praying for, like if you broke an arm, not your arm, and you need to stay whole. But we need to be seeking him, and when we understand, you know, that love and where we are in him, and we pray for, you know, we understand that there's a perfect, he may have a different plan for us, and that's a particular miracle. And that young man up here, you see him, the one that was born with no arms and no legs, and he said he has a faith, and I've heard this from a member of his body, that why wasn't he such and such happy? I had that faith. He said, I have the faith of giving folks to see in the world. And he said, and I prayed and cried to the Lord this community, I just want some arms and some light. He had so much faith, he believed in God, and from his father was a pastor, they were so busy, you know, the word and whatever. And, but it didn't happen. And so why? But look at what God is doing through him in his faith. When people look at that man and they see the love of the Lord just radiating from him, and what a testimony to see how he overcame. And that'll save more people than any man fully, you know, that could go out there and preach. It's just amazing. So we have to look. And we've got to be trusted and know that we have our best interest in. And we can always be by our footprint.
Thank you. I agree. How many agree? So what do you do with your blueprint? How about the man by the pool? 38 years he's waiting to come in. Jesus walks by him how many times in those 38 years? We don't know, do we? How about Jesus coming to the feast in John chapter 7? When did he actually speak up? Halfway through the feast. And then on the final day, he declares, come to me, those of you who are thirsty and want living water. Why does he wait till the final day? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what does that imply? They've been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for 4,000 years, and it had not fully come, fully been completed, fully impacted. Number 7, by the way, that vision, very important. Number 7 is the number of completion. Okay, what is God saying to us? How long does it take to form what he wants out of you and out of me? How much unbelief is still stored up inside of me that wants to do it through the flesh versus doing by the Spirit? Oh, foolish house of prayer. You began this whole walk by a choice of God's Holy Ghost, not by a choice of your own flesh, because you weren't even smart enough to think about it when it was actually being birthed. There are things that are registered inside of you that your spiritual DNA hasn't arrived yet in order for it to be completed. And you say, well, God must have forgotten me. He's not wanting to heal me. Yeah, you're absolutely right for the moment. But there is a time slot ordained of the Father to set you free. There is a time slot to reveal to you why you are here and where you're going to go from here. And your stupid arguments out of your brain will stifle your future development. And your destiny will not be completed. It doesn't make any sense, Kim. 7 days, twice a day. Yuck. It's work. I think I got more important things to do. Well, go ahead, foolish Galatians. Do it your way. And am I impacting those who couldn't make it? No, I'm just trying to tell you we do this on an everyday basis. On an every single moment that we choose to do it our way, instead of seeking the Lord and saying, hey, you got a better opinion? Put it in my heart. You got a hunger for me to do? Well, then place it in my heart. I can't make myself hungry. Can I? No, but depending on your Father to create in you the hunger that he wants so that you'll complete your destiny. Do I want all of you in the same boat? Yes. Do I want you to do the same job in the boat? No. Thank you. So you're not supposed to be a carbon copy of your neighbor. You're supposed to be a carbon copy of that part of Jesus Christ that you are to be. And then when you activate those gifts that are in you for his glory, then the house of prayer will become what it was designed to be. Foolish Galatians, foolish prayer people. Yeah. I remember days of wondering, God, what do you really want out of me? And everything in the natural said, this is what he wants. But you know what? This is what he wanted. Download in me what you want, God. I need to stand higher than I've ever stood before. I need to reach for more of you than I've ever reached for. Because I'm not doing well down there. So get me higher. Because I can't do it myself. Give me a hunger for more of him. I can't do it myself. Admit your difficulties. Admit your faults to one another. Admit your weakness to each other. So that you may be... How about exposed? Because the enemy's going to say, ha-ha, go ahead and expose yourself. And then see if they still love you. Go ahead, strip naked before the whole world and see if they still respect you. Scripture says, confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. But how are you going to get that healing? By admitting your own hurt. By admitting that you can't do it. By admitting that only the Lord can create that hunger inside of you for more of him until he perfects that which really has held you back. The men and women that God wants to make out of us is the supernatural part of us to be developed. The spirit man inside of you is not going to be developed while you're watching the boob tube or reading a book of entertainment. The spirit part of you will be developed when you enter into his holy place on a daily basis and become united with your Father, the man of the Spirit in the heavens. The Son, the man of God, the Son of God, the Most High, is available to transform us. It'll be done by him, inside of you and me, by the Holy Spirit, whom already you have received what? What did you receive from the Holy Spirit? A small deposit. How many have ever bought a house and paid a mortgage? If you pay the mortgage, do you get the deed to the house? Who holds the deed? Use the same wisdom. You've got a deposit of the Holy Ghost. Have you got the whole thing? No. The rest is on its way. It's going to come in increments, payments, a little bit at a time. And they're coming from the Father to you. They're downloads. And they're being transformed as you trust him to allow himself to form himself in you and less of the foolishness of the flesh and the silliness of the mind is going to hinder you from becoming the man and woman of God that he's called you to be. I want to compliment you on your obedience to do what you did in the feast, every single one of you, and how you prepared yourself and the way that you have given yourself to each other and the way that you ministered to each other was awesome to me. I was so awed to see the Holy Spirit impact different individuals for different days, for different reasons and different seasons. Is he finished yet? Absolutely not. I did get a report from one of the ladies that came to visit. And I said, how is your struggle? Because there's a struggle in the body. And those were the words that came out of her mouth. Surprisingly doing well. What does that mean? It means that there's unbelief that's actually still evident. Surprisingly, basically, I'm doing so much better than I could possibly conceive because God has met me. Why? That's all I expected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other words, there are times that you're going to start something with God and you're going to feel just like Abraham. I was reading about Abraham this morning in Romans. Abraham is got a promise from God, and you're going to have an heir. You're going to have a son. Gee, when, God? Are you sure? I mean, have you looked at Sarah lately? And have you realized that I haven't had a feeling in the parts of my body that I need to have feelings in, and something has got to change? So what did he choose? Did he look at the deadness of his own flesh? Or did he look at the one who made the promise? And would you do me a favor? Would you close your Bibles, please? Would you put it somewhere and you can stand up? Because this house of prayer is not going to function on flesh. It's going to function by choice of receiving what God has prepared for us. And it's going to be done by faith and not by human wisdom, which is so silly compared to the incredible gift of God's Spirit. I want you to not look at each other right now. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands to Him, because He is the only one that can impart to you what you need to become in this house of prayer. So I want you to confess your sin of unbelief with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin of unbelief. And I'm asking now that you download inside of me a belief for my destiny. Because you have a plan for my life. It's a marvelous plan. And the hindering darkness tries to overwhelm me and shatter the plan of God. But it's not going to work. Because the God of heaven placed a deposit inside of me of His Holy Ghost. And that Spirit is the Spirit of life inside me. And it will flow out of me like a marvelous spring of life, living water bubbling out of me and eventually forming a river, washing away the darkness from within. And Lord Father, I know that I'm a spirit person, walking and talking and doing with a natural flesh body and a soul, a mind, a marvelous will, and intense emotions. All of these I submit to your Holy Spirit. And I say, rule and reign in me. And get me to my destiny. Show me my part and the grace to do it. Because on my own, I usually fall flat on my face. And I get discouraged. And I get overwhelmed. And I don't want to live there anymore. So I recommit today. Show me what to do. I'll do it. Give me the grace to carry it out. And give me the faith that you imparted to a man of your choice, the father of faith, Abraham himself. And you carried him from one generation into the next after your own likeness. You created Jesus Christ and made Him everything I needed. And then you deposited some of His Spirit right inside of me. What an awesome gift. That Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, living inside. I want you to stare at your neighbor, one of them, just one. Stare eyeball to eyeball. Say, the Holy Spirit is definitely inside of me. And I know he's inside of you. Sometimes you might feel naked as you expose your weaknesses. But I'll be there to build you up, to fill you up with faith in God. And I'll even help you with the deposit I got and the deposit that you got. Everything gets doubled. Hallelujah. When two are in agreement, what happens? When three are in agreement, what happens? When four are in agreement? And by the way, Brother Bob will verify that Bob Jones told us that when there's 27 people, you remember that? 27 people, 27 believers, will outdo every demon in all of hell. 27 believers, together believing for the same thing, will eradicate every demon in all of hell. That's the law of multiplication that our God has inside of us. Remember, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Then when you multiply it to 27 in harmony, nobody can stop what your prayer will be. Because you will be of one accord. We have not had one accord. We're going to have one accord, no matter what it costs. Oh, I want to hear that again.
Amen.
Okay. Why? What is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you your brain. That's all. It's going to cost you what you got between your ears. That's what it's going to cost. Every natural understanding. St. Paul calls it what? Silly foolishness. So if you're going to go by here, you're not going to be able to be in harmony. But if you go by here, which is the inner part of your chest, right where the Spirit of God is resident, you will be in harmony together, and nothing is impossible for you. Acts 17 says Jesus prayed that prayer. And now, Father, we are in agreement with our Savior Jesus Christ that we are one, you in us, and we in you. And now may the anointing of the Spirit of the Father continue to raise you to new heights as you begin to see more and more of his love, his grace, and his mercy to us as we become children and then adults and full mature adults in Christ Jesus. Amen.